Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now. College football rankings.
Uh-oh.
This is the Rich Eisen Show with guest host Susie Schuster.
Let me break it down.
College football rankings. It's all cheese.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And they put Ohio State over Michigan, you know, I guess because they see something. But fine, go for it.
Earlier on the show, Commanders head coach Ron Rivera, 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa. Coming up, host of the Dan Patrick Show, Dan Patrick, Emmy award-winning host Stephen Colbert. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
Hour three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air here. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen, who is recovering from a case of the mung. That's what we call it here. A case of the mung coming back from Munich. Or do you think maybe I locked him in our room and just ran and thought, this is a great opportunity to get a show
get out
in,
of the
right?
Get out the house.
Get out of the house. Which could it be? Is Rich sick and actually watching at home, trying to like fight off the jet lag from Munich? Or did I maybe take his keys and lock him in our room? It could be either, by the way.
I like option
B. Good
B.
poll question.
Why not?
It's a great poll question. Oh, can you call in, guys? 844-204-RICH. Because I really love the callers, and we have fun with Twitter. We read in our last segment a couple comments for our poll question. How many poll questions do we have today on our Off the Rails edition of the Rich Eisen Show, TJ?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Okay, let me just ask Chris, because you're busy over there buying tickets to Taylor Swift. Tell me this. How many poll questions do we have today?
We only have the one so far. Okay. Unless Chris has put one up since he's...
One of them was the... What was it? Taylor Swift?
It wasn't even a poll question so much as it was just a question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh.
So there wasn't like... I didn't give, you know... Because you can only put four options.
I'm actually just going to put up a poll right now. Did you get Taylor Swift tickets?
Yeah. But then isn't there a follow-up like, what would you spend a day of your life? Which concert would it be trying to get? Or is that crazy because that's a total waste of time?
You know, it is, you know, some might say it is a waste of time, but if you have like a teenage daughter or someone, like you're trying to get tickets for your kids, that's totally understandable. I was trying to get them so I could resell them.
but nothing's a waste of time if it's something that you enjoy, you know, if something, you know, that you're looking forward to seeing.
What ticket have you ever had that you are looking at your hands thinking, this ticket is worth so much, I'm just going to dump it, make a little green, and go home?
That's probably a better question for you, bro.
I got one. So 2004, Game 2 of the World Series, I was able to win the lottery on RedSox.com and got two standing room only tickets. And as my friend and I were walking into the game, I think they were $50 seats for standing room. And I remember thinking, we could probably sell these for like $2,000 because like first World Series in 20 years. They're up 1-0 in the series against the Cardinals. And I remember thinking, but let's have the moment and go to the game. It was awesome. Curt Schilling pitched. Tech hit the triple. It was an awesome game. Sox won, obviously.
Dan Patrick joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Dan, has there ever been a ticket that you had in your hot, sweaty hands and you thought, it's the moment of watching this game or I'm going to pocket a lot of cash?
Well, probably quite a few of them. You know, you always weigh the, well, that's a lot of money for a Super Bowl ticket, and then you go to the Super Bowl and go, thank God I didn't sell the ticket.
Because of the experience, and you're just so happy to be there, but then it's like, so there's the devil on your shoulder and the angel. You're like, I get to live in the moment, and then the devil's like, but I'm going to buy myself a new TV, right? I mean, it's tough.
Yeah, but I always, there's always something you take away from those games or somebody you met. There's an experience there that you wouldn't get if you would have sold the ticket. And I go back to, I've left games when I wasn't covering them before, and I've missed out on a couple of things. I remember, let's see, the last time, I went to this was Boise State and Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl with the incredible trick plays at the very end, and Boise State came back and beat Oklahoma. I left before the incredible finish there, and when I got back to my hotel, went to the bar, and the bartender goes, "Unbelievable finish, huh?" And I go, I thought he was talking about like something on the bar, or maybe, you know, like the shellac on the bar. Unbelievable finish. Yeah, it looks beautiful. It was no unbelievable finish. Which one? Well, Boise State beat Oklahoma. I go, no, they didn't. Yeah, they did. And that's where I left early. But being there just to watch that, even the first 3.5 quarters, I'm still glad that I went, even though I missed the very end of it. But I have people who will get tickets from me who might sell them, but I have never have, you know, I fight the urge because I always think there's something, you know, that you're going to have an experience that you never would have thought you would have gotten.
Now, this is a terrible non sequitur, but I'm going to go with it. That bottle of tequila that you got this morning from Jordan and Co., it's really pretty, that five-sided bottle of tequila. If you want to send it to me, I would like to have it. That is a great-looking bottle of tequila. I'm saying this in hoping Coro. That somebody will notice this and send one because I love tequila. How'd I do?
Not very well, no. Because I think the first person you ask is your husband and say, you know what, Rich, I would like a bottle of Sincoro, the very expensive bottle that Dan Patrick had on his show.
The five-sided bottle of tequila, by the way.
Because there's five owners, NBA owners, who bought into the company, and it's five-sided bottle of Sincoro tequila. A $350 bottle.
See,
I wonder what that would be if you went into the club. Ooh. What would that, like how many thousands of dollars that would they mark that up if you went in and said, I'm going to take that special bottle of Sincoro, you know, the Michael Jordan tequila. I'm going to guess a couple of grand for something like that.
And if you were such a, you know, a baller to say, I'll have a Sincoro on the rocks, please, with a lime, would that cost $100, do you think?
Mm-hmm. Out of that tequila bottle?
For a glass.
I'm going to, you know what? There's a bourbon. It's called Pappy Van Winkle. And it's not expensive to buy, but you can't just buy it. You have to get it on the secondary market. It's very limited, but it's highly sought after. I've gone into a bar, and Pappy has been a shot of Pappy Van Winkle for $75. I'm going to guess that tequila that Jordan has would probably be a $75 glass of tequila.
Yeah, Dan, bottle of Pappy Van Winkle is like $1,200 online.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's other ones that are more than that.
Yeah, there's a 5,000 one also.
and I've had it, and it's nice bourbon, but and I had a bottle of it, and I thought, you know, I'll break it out for something special. And I had a Christmas party. And I somehow left it out where somebody saw it and said, oh, you got Pappy. We should do some shots. And I go, okay. So I opened it up. And then I said to some people who were sitting at the bar, they didn't know what it was. I said, hey, you guys want a drink of this? It's bourbon. No. I said, are you sure? Nah, we don't want any. I said, well, this glass right here is probably a $75 glass in a bar. Everybody then wanted to taste the bourbon. Nobody wanted it until they knew how much it was. And then, of course, they're like, oh my gosh, this is the best bourbon I've ever had. They wouldn't have known it unless I told them what it was. So a lot of times it's, I want what I can't have. And that's a classic example.
I think two obvious follow-up questions, Dan Patrick. The first would be, who comes up with a name like Pappy Van Winkle? Right? That's got to be the first question. Second question is, did you just enjoy saying, would you like a glass of Pappy Van Winkle?
Well, let me start with Pappy Van Winkle.
Okay.
I don't know about Vaughn, but Pappy. Now, Pappy Van Winkle, that's very cheap. You can buy that. doesn't cost you that much.
Not Happy on the secondary Bam market. Legal. Nope, nope.
Yeah, that's the...
That's
yeah,
a, like, a BevMo.
Yeah. Let's see, where were we? So, did I feel good saying Pappy Van Winkle, would you like a shot? Yeah, I felt like a baller a little bit there.
Right.
And what was the other question?
The other question was, did you just basically stand at the bar leaning on it with a monogrammed ice cube saying, would you like a glass of Pappy Van Winkle? By the way, I want to know, like, is there a monogrammed ice cube involved? And then number two.
No. It was just, I poured a little shot for everybody. You sipped it. I said, don't shoot it. If we're not doing shots, you just sip bourbon. And I have it where I just have it plain. I don't have it on ice. I have it neat, you know, occasionally. But, yeah, there's a whole subculture that has to do, you know, it's like smoking cigars, how you flick your ashes on a cigar. You don't, you know, hit it too hard on the side of the ashtray because then you might crack the cigar that you have. Like all these things that you never would have thought that you needed to know, but you need to know.
Dan, we have breaking news here on the Rich Eisen Show. We don't have your expensive drop, which is kind of depressing now that I realize it, because I'm expecting to hear your breaking news drop. But Ndamukong Suh signs with the Eagles. What are your thoughts on that right away?
Who signed with the Eagles?
Ndamukong Suh signed with the Eagles. How about that?
Yeah. Well, they probably need help with stopping the run, and maybe considering they've got good running backs coming up the next four games they're going to face. I don't know when he can be available, but that's probably... I thought they had plenty of depth on the defensive line, but watching them against Washington, knowing they got Jonathan Taylor coming up, you got the Packers game coming up. They got two good running backs. Derrick Henry is also coming up. They're going to have to stop the run because now people feel like now we know how to beat the Eagles. You run the football, control the clock.
Dan Patrick joins us here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. Let's go back to nonsense talk because it's a lot more fun. Would you spend a day waiting to buy tickets to a concert the way people do with T-Swift? Because Taylor Swift broke the internet the other day. People waited all day to try to buy tickets to Taylor Swift. Would you ever spend a day wasting time to get tickets to a concert? And if so, who would it have been, alive or dead?
Would I do it now? No. But if back in the day, if you said Led Zeppelin somehow was coming back, or the Beatles coming back, or Hendrix coming back, Elvis, then yeah, I would. I remember waiting in line when it was general seating to get into these shows, and you waited in a line that felt like it was a mile long, and it was general admission basically, but. You know, the handling charge is what I don't understand. When somebody says, hey, the ticket's going to cost you this, but the total is going to be this, and you go, wait a minute. How much does it cost to just process a ticket? And that's where I think it's, you know, Springsteen's talked about this too, where you try to make them affordable, but then it feels like those that are handling the tickets jack it up and, you know, put it in a stratosphere that's just not fair. And imagine all the younger girls who want to go see Taylor Swift. All right, where are you going to get that money unless mom and dad are the ones that are ponying that up? But that gets to be disheartening, the handling charges. I'd love to see how they would explain, like Ticketmaster. Well, here's the handling charges.
Handling charges?
Let me understand.
It's a computer.
Exactly.
$300, well, Dan. $300 for
that
four tickets.
Expensive.
Yeah,
Dan.
How much?
The service charges were $300 for four tickets.
Yeah, see that's embarrassing. And if you're looking at the people who go to these concerts, mostly are younger people, and you're price gouging them. It's just that's unfair. But if you get the artist to speak up, I know that we saw this many years ago. Eddie Vedder and company, but you know, I think it probably impacted their tour, but they wanted to take on, I don't know if it was Ticketmaster or not, but like, this this is wrong. This is wrong to do this.
Dan Patrick here on the Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. Dan, I was listening to you on the way down, and I was concerned that you were throwing Sue under the bus on the pickleball conversation. And I thought of this because Stephen Colbert will be up on, in a taped interview coming up that Rich had taped yesterday. And I'm wondering what kind of pickleball player you are, Dan, because you basically kind of sold
one.
You kind of sold Sue down the river on that one, saying that she didn't want to win. And I know your wife. She's Italian. She's feisty. There's a fire in there. And I'm just wondering if you could give us a little bit more insight into that match against those two aggressive women from Outer Greenwich.
Well, we were at a spa, and they had all these different things. It's one of those healthy spiritual retreats that my wife wanted to go on, where it's all vegan and all these things that are healthy and healthy state of mind and all of those things. My Zen, you know, I'm listening to my inner voice, all of the things. I'm relaxed, and my wife goes, "Hey, I'd like to try pickleball. Never played pickleball." Go out on the tennis court. They got it all set up, and then, you know, you're kind of pairing off with two other people on the other side. Well, we don't even know the rules. We don't know anything about it. And then there was an instructor, and then we started playing. Well, the two women on the other side, they were really good. And I thought that they were a little too competitive. And so I said to my wife, who's not competitive that way, I said, "Hun, I got to take matters into my own hands here. You know? The family legacy is at stake." And she goes, no, don't be that person. I go, "No, hon, they need to be taught a lesson." And I did. I taught them a lesson. Those women from Greenwich, Connecticut, I taught them a lesson. And, you know, hopefully they'll learn from
it. Were you the kind of dad that you wouldn't let your kids win?
Yeah. I'm still that kind of dad.
Yeah.
Yep. You realize one time I said to my kids, and they were probably ages 7 through 14, and there's four of them. And I said, "If nobody can beat me in a foot race, no Christmas gifts." And my wife's watching this, and she goes, don't do this. I go, no, it'll be funny. And so I beat them in a race. They all four fall down crying because they don't think there's any Christmas. And then I said, no, there is. I'm joking. Oh, my God. I was the worst dad on the block. Chutes and ladders. If I played chutes and ladders, I'd be competitive. And my wife would just say, "You can let them win." I go, no, I can't. Even now, I have a problem with just letting you win. Because I grew up in a family that they didn't let you win, so I gotta stop one day and just go, "Come on, you're a grown ass man. What are you doing?"
No, you don't.
You don't have to stop, Dan.
No, you don't. We live in a bunch of softies out here. No, you don't.
You don't have to stop. No, I know. Well, the women in Greenwich, they deserve to be taught a lesson.
Wait, were you talking trash to the women, or were you just giving looks?
No, there were too many people, and my wife would never allow that to happen. But okay. I sent some things back with a little bit more urgency when we were playing pickleball. Mm. I had to let them know that, you know, there's a new lifeguard here at the pool, and it's me.
So you shot a shot to the ankles. Is that what happened? You were hoping she'd throw her back out when she went down for it?
Nope, just looking for winners. Yeah. That's all I was trying to do.
A little more
put
mustard.
A little heat on it. Yeah. That was it. And because they were firing at my wife, you know, the backhand, and she didn't know how to play. We just picked up the thing. And I thought, all right, honey, I'm going to take care of most of these shots. When they were coming, I was the guy who was dominating the whole side of the court in pickleball. Sad, but still, it was an athletic achievement at my age and having an artificial knee.
No, that is true. Every so often when Cooper Eisen gets a little too testy on the tennis court, I'll zing it right at him. And then I'll give him a fist bump, like right in his face, like, yeah, like a Tom Brady, let's go! Mom, I'm like, you want that ball? You got to be on that wall. I mean, I have some issues, Dan. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but I mean, I've only known you for 30 years, but yeah, I'm gonna work on it when Rich comes back. Maybe I'll go to a spa in Greenwich.
Yeah, yeah. Still hope.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Anything else?
Let's do this again. next time, Rich is out. You just let me know. I'll be here.
All right. So 10:02 tomorrow. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You're in the chair for a while.
I'm in the chair for the next couple days. I'm in the chair, and then Dan, we're going. Xander and Dan and Rich were supposed to go to Lizzo on Friday night, so I said I would take him. He's like, I no thanks, Mom. He chose his dance teacher. He said, I don't know anything about Lizzo.
Wow.
Whatever. I mean, I'm about that something or other, right? I mean,
it's about damn
I'd love to go see Lizzo. I'd love to go see Lizzo. I'd love to go see Taylor Swift. I'd love to go see Harry Styles.
Oh, I'm going to Harry Styles. Whoa. Back off.
He's a little too aggressive there. Wow.
I am
wow.
going to that one. Sorry.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow.
Sorry,
okay.
Not sorry.
Right.
Olivia Wilde hosting the show today.
Fair enough.
Sorry, I was nodding off for a minute. Wait, Harry Styles? Well, I'll go to that one.
Yeah.
We're going to SCUCLA on Saturday. It's a big weekend out here in the Eisen household, and Rich will be... he'll be playing shotgun from with the TV clicker, I think.
Good.
So, a couple days off. He needs to sleep off the jet lag.
Titans, Packers, Dan, who you got real quick?
It feels weird. It's like the Titans, just because it feels weird. I don't know. There's a couple, like the Giants are favored by a point and a half over the Lions at home. Like,
yeah,
that's just
why
weird.
Is Green Bay favored tonight?
Probably based off of, the game against the Cowboys. But then the Cowboys are favored against the Vikings in Minnesota after their win against Buffalo. Yeah. It's just weird. And it feels like Tennessee has been under the radar. You know, these shows focus on the Packers and the Cowboys. That's basically it. And therefore, nobody has an opinion on anybody else in the NFL. It's like the Lakers in the NBA. Nobody focuses on anybody else. It's like, it's the Lakers. Well, they're not any good. So what? They'll get clicks. And I think Tennessee has always been one of those teams that, there's not much excitement there. They're just a great football coach, and they somehow, win games. But I would go with Tennessee just because it feels weird.
Dan, thank you. Appreciate
Let's
you
do
calling
it again
in.
Sometime in a while.
In a long while. And if you decide you don't want that tequila, you know where I live. It's
I know
just us.
That's where your husband, being a baller, should be able to go, hey, honey, I've got your tequila. I'll get it for you because I love you.
Mm.
That's what he should say if he really cared about you.
Well, that's up for debate, isn't it, though? It's 25 right. years later, that's up for debate.
Have a great day.
Love to Sue. Bye, Dan. So, guys, do you know this? Has Rich ever told you this, that in his first SportsCenter segment, has he told you this story before? So stop me if he has.
Let's keep going.
So, you know Dan's the driest human being on the planet, right? I mean, just love him desperately. And so Rich gets recruited to ESPN. He's 26 years old. He's excited. It's his first SportsCenter. He walks by Berman. He walks by all these people there. And he walks by Dan on the way to the SportsCenter set. You know, Rich is like shiny with his big floppy head of hair. And, he's wearing the one jacket he has and the one tie and the one shirt. And Dan looks at him and he says, so are you nervous? Like that. And he says his blood went cold, like, because, Dan's so deadpan, you just don't know what...
Also, Dan's just messing with you.
It's the best.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Veterans Day comes every year, but companies rarely thank veterans in a way that's meaningful for all of us. Veterans deserve to be thanked the most. They serve to keep us safe. That deserves some meaningful gratitude and appreciation. And at Navy Federal Credit Union, every day is Veterans Day. Navy Federal Credit Union is committed to veterans and helping them live their lives to the fullest. Navy Federal Credit Union offers resources like the VA Loans Hub and the Best Cities After Service. Navy Federal Credit Union also offers veteran employment assistance for partnerships with nonprofits like The Mission Continues. Plus, Navy Federal Credit Union is a top VA home lender. They offer personal finance counseling as well as 24/7 member service. Navy Federal Credit Union has a growing community of over 1.8 million veterans like you. When we say thank you, we mean it. Navy Federal Credit Union. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/veterans, insured by NCUA and Equal Housing Lender. Lots more Rich Eisen Show when we get back. Stephen Colbert will talk pickleball, because why not?
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Yesterday after the show, Rich spoke with Stephen Colbert about Pickled, a new two-hour sports comedy special featuring action-packed pickleball, America's hottest and fastest-growing sport. It's airing tonight at 9 p.m. on CBS, available to stream live and on demand on Paramount Plus. And here's that conversation.
Everybody knows how much I love pickleball, and now the very popular sport gets the combination of network, television, spotlight, Peabody Award-style humor, and celebrity treatment that the sport deserves. And the man who's putting it all together is the 10-time Emmy Award winner and Peabody Award winner and host of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Stephen Colbert, the host of Pickled on CBS tonight. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm absolutely carbonated with excitement about tonight's show. I can't wait. I can't believe we finally get to show it to people.
Well, I'm excited to see it because I adore pickleball. I play it every single week. I can't get enough of it. And then just the people that you have put together, and the teams that you've put together, and the humor that you're clearly bringing to it. Why did you? Are you a big avid pickleballer, Stephen Colbert?
Well, Rich, first of all, when people think Stephen Colbert, they think sports. I know that.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
My wife, last Christmas, my wife gave me a pickleball set. Mm-hmm. And I said, what is this? And she said, all our friends play, we have to play this. And 2 weeks later, the president of my production company, Carrie Bilek, said, hey, Funny or Die wants to partner with us to go to CBS to do a celebrity pickleball charity tournament. Do you know what that is? And I said, yes, I play pickleball now. I love being on the cutting edge of things. And so we know a wave when we see one, and yes. You know I love talking about current events. And this is a crossover between sports and what's happening now. And I said, hell yes. Literally the day we went into pitch to CBS, the New York Times had a headline that said, pickleball is ready for prime time.
Indeed, yes. And so I guess this is a pickleball blue court wave. Is that what you're saying that we're seeing on CBS?
Sure. Yeah, 100%.
Okay, very good. And I don't even know where to start, man. So let's start with the national anthem. You and Kenny Loggins are performing the national anthem for this tonight.
Exactly. We go straight through the danger zone, take a right into a corner, and then go center court and sing the national anthem
in front of
the man still. Bring it.
I bet he can. So, I got to be honest with you. I'm a Caddyshack guy. That's who I think of. That's the movie I think of when I think of Loggins. Stephen, you know, I think of that movie.
I'm boom, boom, boom. I'm all right.
That's it. I think of the dancing chipmunk, something I never thought I would ever talk about with you.
I will confess to you a big hole in my knowledge of world culture.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen Caddyshack.
Oh, MG, as the kids might say.
How,
are you serious?
I've never seen The Shawshank Redemption. I've never seen Caddyshack. I've never seen one of the Fast and Furious movies. And what I want to do is I want to sit down and I want to watch Caddyshack.
I'd love to watch it with Rodger Dangerfield, but of course I can't.
No.
I want to watch it, you know, with the cast. That would be fun.
Yeah, Bill Murray, obviously, still around. Ted Knight, comedic genius, unfortunately no longer with us as well. But
exactly.
It's
the Caddyshack curse, they call it.
It stands the test of time, though. I sort of like pickleball. See how I kind of worked that one back to home here.
That's why you're the pro.
Thank you, sir. So again, you've got the celebrity element. You've got the comedy element.
Emma Watson partnering with Sugar Ray Leonard. It is the craziest partnership I've ever seen, and somehow it works. They're devastating together, and I think the person that's going to shock everybody is. What a vicious competitor Emma Watson is, and I'm not joking.
Emma Watson,
clearly the best player out there,
right?
Yeah. Hermione Granger, clearly the best.
Yeah, she's bringing her Hogwarts sensibility to this partnership called the Volley Ranchers. I love some of these team names: Kelly Rowland and Murray Bartlett, who's, you know, Mr. White Lotus, Dink Floyd. I like that one. We had Luis Guzman on my show yesterday, talked about his pairing with Daniel Day-Kim called Daniel Day-Luis. I love that one.
Yes.
I love that one. They play off their left foot.
Committed to pickleball as Daniel Day-Lewis is to staying in character. Yeah. That was so admirable about them.
They drink
You really believe they were playing pickleball the whole time.
Yes, and they drink the milkshake of Max Greenfield and Jimmy Allen, I'm sure, the team Dill I Am. I love it. This is fun. And then you got Bill Raftery to do the analysis as well.
Onions! You bet. We got Bill Raftery. Bill Raftery, who at times, I will admit,
yes,
was not entirely clear what was happening on court, but you know, he brought the spirit of sportsmanship and sports broadcasting to the broadcast.
Love the sports coat, too. Outstanding sport coat, Stephen. And we're seeing a photograph of it right now. So
vertical stripes are very slenderizing.
How good are you at pickleball? How good are you? Seriously.
Listen, I would say on a scale of 1 to 2, I'm a 1.
Come on.
But I'm that close. But I'm that close to being a 2.
Come on now.
Because I think that's the range in pickleball, that the best player in the world is the worst player in the world. And that's what I love about it, is that there's no real sense of intimidation when you get on the court. It's just a ton of fun.
Mm.
You can get better at it, but there is a limit to how good you need to be pretty darn good at pickleball.
I do love it. I play it seriously every week with my poker buddies, Stephen. We get out there, and we're very competitive, and I'm never out of a point.
Gamble?
It's, you know, we play for pride, and if pride, you know, might put an Andrew Jackson or a 5 on it, it's possible.
Sure.
But my nickname when I play, because I never give up on a point, is La Cucaracha. That's what I've been called, Stephen. I figured I'd share that with you because
One of my favorite things about pickleball is I love the terminology.
Yeah,
I love you know what a flapjack is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Flapjack is a shot that must bounce once before it be hit. Basically, it's the serve and the return serve. That's when the ball is the flapjack.
Mm.
And then after the flapjack, a lot of people yell "opa" because now you're into the third shot and you can start volleying. I love the falafel, which is the weak shot. I love the ding. I love the kitchen.
The kitchen. You got to be careful of the kitchen, though, Stephen. You can't go in it unless the ball bounces in it. I mean, there's a very specific rule, and I don't like. And I here's what I hope that this show can actually bring about, Stephen, is the slander of pickleball that it's for a certain age group. That it's not really a significant athletic endeavor, that it doesn't give you a workout. It's dynamite. I love it, and I can't wait to see this show the air.
It's a fantastic sport. It's for all ages, and I'm saying it right now. I'm putting it on the line.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be in the Olympics in Paris in 2024.
And that's because, and again, it's going to be part of what you're bringing to the equation tonight at 9 p.m. on CBS, available to stream live and on demand on Paramount Plus. What does the Colbert Cup look like, that this is what they're all battling for this evening, Stephen? What can you tell me?
I, without giving too much away, it looks a lot like a karate trophy.
I mean,
and I'm not saying that we left until the last minute and had a little trouble finding something that was a pickleball trophy.
Yes.
And that karate trophies are readily available.
in Los Angeles.
Yes.
But if some people mistake it for a karate trophy, I wouldn't blame them.
You may have just made a reference to the only 80s movie that Kenny Loggins did not sing the theme song to, right there, Stephen, if I had to guess. You know, right then and there. Just a couple of questions outside of all this that I do have for you. What is it like for you to go to work in the Ed Sullivan Theater every day? My God, what a blessing
that is.
You know
what? It's because you're so busy doing the show, you can sometimes forget. But then some days you go out to, say hi to the audience and you look up and you see that extraordinary dome and you know the history of the place. Or like when you have McCartney on and you realize, oh, wow, he's sitting essentially where they played. In the 1960s, it's a complete privilege. It's an honor. It's an honest to God Broadway theater. Is the thing. That's what it started at. Mm-hmm. It was the Hammerstein Theater, and on 1927, in the inaugural show, the very first American performance of an actor named Archie Leach was on that stage. You know him as Cary Grant.
Right.
Literally, like the history of that place is extraordinary.
And now you get to perform there every single night and do a show that the whole country's sitting down to watch. And then obviously you're
that's right. The whole country watches.
It's true, man.
How good the ratings
it's
are.
The true. It's
330 million people every night.
It's the truth, Stephen. It's my job to hype. I'm your hype man right now. And so coming from The Daily Show, when did you first meet Jon Stewart? Do you got a story on that front? Your first time you ever met him?
First time I met Jon Stewart was when he was announced that he was going to be the host of The Daily Show. Because when it was announced in the press, my wife, Evie, it turns out, and I didn't know this, she knew him back from when he was a struggling comic in New York.
Mm-hmm.
She was a struggling actress in New York, and she knew him from, he was the roommate of the guy her roommate was dating. And so he'd be at some of their parties. And his roommate was a stand-up as well. And when she saw that John, she showed John's picture, and she went, John Leibowitz, he's not funny. and then he goes, his roommate was the funny one. And John says, like, it's true. My roommate was the funny one. I was the guy in the corner nursing an Amstel Light, afraid to talk to anybody. So I didn't meet him, but my wife did. And then when it was announced, because I'd worked for Craig Kilborn.
Mm-hmm.
I'd worked for the original Daily Show.
Right.
And that's really where I learned my love of sports broadcasting. Right? And when it was announced that John would be the host, I watched that they were about to do this press conference over at Comedy Central. And I went, wait a second, isn't that something the Daily Show would cover? So I went over there. I just said, hey, can I have a mic and a camera guy?
Mm.
So I went over there, and I asked a question of the network head, the guy, Doug Herzog. And I said, Doug, Stephen Colbert's Daily Show, this announcement today of Jon Stewart, how does that impact my chances of being the next host of the Daily Show? And Jon turned to Doug and said, you said he wasn't funny.
And a friendship was born to the point where he played drums on your show just this past week. So it's a long...
Really a love affair. At this point.
It is that. And I would have guessed you would have gone back to like Chicago, right? You used to do Second City with Steve Carell. Is that where you met him back in the day too?
Carell and I met at Second City.
Man.
We were on stage there together.
It's unbelievable. That is pretty cool, man. Look, congrats on Pickled, sir.
Thank you very much. I can't wait for people to see it.
I look forward. So is there going to be a season two of Pickled? Is this just a one-off? I mean, as you know, pickleball can't just be contained. It is growing. What do you think?
I think this is the I think this is the start of an empire. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay.
I'm all in on pickleball.
Well, as long as they could keep making Colbert Cups, I think we can continue it. And it does proceeds benefit the nonprofit Comic Relief US. Correct.
Yes.
That happens as well.
Everybody remembers Comic Relief from back in the day when.
Yes.
Whoopi and Robin and Billy were up there on HBO for the specials. They've never stopped. People think of them as Red Nose Day now in the United States, but Comic Relief has never stopped. And I really believe, this organization that Richard Curtis created, and they, distribute hundreds of millions of dollars to children and families in need. And besides the fun we're having, we're going to raise a lot of money for a fantastic cause. And remember, the holidays are coming. Santa is watching.
Mm.
Okay? So get on that good list.
I look forward to that. I look forward to this whole
scan that QR code you see on screen, my friend.
I look forward to that, and we'll put it up there as well, best we can.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Stephen Colbert. I appreciate you calling in, and I look forward to all of this, and I look forward to Paul Scheer and Tig Notaro battling it out together. That'll be great. Did she know anybody else there? Because that was one of her Comedy Central shows. I actually was one of those guests. She had no idea who the hell I was when I came out on that program. She had no clue. No, none.
Don't tell Tig. Is that what it is? Or don't ask Tig. I forgot what the name of that show was.
Yeah, I think Under a Rock with Tig, something like that.
I think Tig Allen's going to surprise some people. I think Dierks Bentley's going to rock your world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think you're going to be pretty surprised by the liquid grace of Max Greenfield. It's going to be fantastic. And we also have mystery guests. We have mystery players.
Mystery
players.
You've
got to watch to find out who they are.
Fantastic. Thanks for the call, Stephen Colbert. I look forward to seeing Pickled tonight on CBS at 9 Eastern Time. And you could check it out also on Paramount Plus, which is available right here on Roku. Thanks for the call, sir.
Thank you, Rich.
You bet. At Stephen at Home on Twitter and Instagram right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Liquid grace. I think you used the word liquid grace. Is that an expression that kids are using these days?
Never heard of it. Good fantasy name, maybe. TJ, liquid grace.
It's news to me. Yeah,
that is news to all of us here, but a great interview with Stephen Colbert. Much more to wrap up this Thursday edition of The Rich Eisen Show. When we come back, we will be back shortly to bring it to you looking live. Wrapping up this Thursday edition of The Rich Eisen Show, Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen, but you know that by now. You know, in listening to that Stephen Colbert interview, how has he not seen Caddyshack? Who hasn't seen, right? Not seen Caddyshack?
Especially if you're in the comedy world, too. Just, I mean, how does that slip through the cracks of your, you know, pop culture wall?
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of weird things that you haven't seen, but you've seen Caddyshack.
One of my favorite movies. I could probably quote it beginning to end.
Right. TJ, you've seen it?
Yes.
Okay, phew. Just checking. Jay Philly, yes?
I watched it about a year ago.
For the first time?
The first time.
What have you been doing?
He wasn't into it.
Wait, hold on.
What was the term? Graceful what? Drinking?
This is not the first time this happened, though. Can you tell us, because there's a few movies that we mention all the time that you had never seen,
yeah,
and then you decided to watch them. So which ones were those again?
Well, Caddyshack, I watched Midnight Run, and then what's your favorite?
The Last Boy
Last
Scout.
Boy Scout. Okay. Way better than Midnight Run, by the way.
Yeah, break that. Midnight Run is one of Rich's favorite movies. He talks about it all the time.
All the time. And then he gives me crap when I bring up, like, Last Boy Scout and stuff that I like.
You know, De Niro and Charles Grodin.
It was just kind of dated. I mean, it was funny, but it was like, one, it was very long. And two,
it's over
it was
2 hours,
like,
man.
All right, this is, you know. And with Caddyshack, it was funny, but like you said, I've heard you guys say every line. So I was like, right. Oh, yeah, I feel like I've seen this. Oh, yeah, that's what they meant. It was more like, all right, now I get it. Not so much, this is great.
Okay. The Last Boy Scout you enjoyed?
Well, yeah, a lot of stuff I liked was in that very quickly. Maybe not the shooting people right away, but
right. A lot of stuff I like.
I'll stop there.
Yeah, you might want to wrap that one up right there. I've never seen Last Boy Scout, though.
You should watch it.
Should I? Should I?
I mean, probably not. Should I? She would not enjoy it.
She might, because she's into sports, and, you know, were you a fan of, like, Bruce Willis action style in late 80s, early 90s movies?
You mean, like, his Christmas movie?
Yeah.
Not
as good as his Christmas movie, but
I
mean, very few things
I liked
are.
Moonlighting. Does that count?
Some walk by night.
Does that count?
Some fly by day.
I love Caddyshack. I love body stupid humor.
Yep.
I love The Naked Gun.
Yeah.
I like Vacation. I love any of that stuff.
I know it's Christmas season, not only because all the stuff's in the stores, but I saw Christmas Vacation was on TNT like 2 days ago. Like, all right, it started. Christmas Vacation is now in the rotation. You're going to see it every night on cable. So excited.
By the way, that means every Richard Curtis movie comes back, and I just stop. That's a clicker drop for me. If it's a Richard Curtis movie, like Love Actually, done.
Love Actually.
Don't talk to me. Great. I'm busy.
Yep.
I don't know who Richard Curtis is.
Oh, what? You have about, I don't know, 21 hours until the next show. And you should really watch Love Actually tonight.
Yeah, I probably will not.
Come
watch
on,
Love
please. Oh, I'll bring you
champagne. Should watch Love Actually instead of going to the Clipper game.
Well, my buddy Daniel, that's one of his favorite movies,
and I
make fun of him every year because he's so excited to watch it. So I'll pass on that one.
The Holiday is also great.
Yep, cute.
Yep.
You look at that house that Cameron Diaz had. You're like, I couldn't get past it.
You're like, yep.
Yep, yep. Guess she's a Hollywood producer. You also know it's Christmas here in L.A. because every town overnight is vomiting Christmas lights.
Yeah.
Like, for a place that never gets cold enough, although I was freezing today, for a place that never gets cold enough, you'd think we were in the North Pole here.
Well, that's how it works. Everyone moves out here from somewhere else. Your blood thins, and then, you know, 50 degrees is cold, and you have scarves and hats and big long jackets and coats, and the heat cranked way up and the seat warmer. My car has the steering wheel warmer.
Mine does, too. I found out this morning.
It's fantastic.
Fancy, man. What kind of cars you drive?
Yeah, I love that.
So while I was driving here today, at 83 miles per hour,
holding my coffee,
it keeps getting faster.
One more each time.
Yeah, I found out that there was a heat warmer in my car. My hands were cold. Yeah.
Come on now, we're just ridiculous. Yeah. My mom sent me a picture from looking out of our front door the other day, and there's like 2 inches of snow on the ground. I mean, come on, we know what cold is.
I know you guys talked about it, but one of my college roommates lives in Buffalo. There's the reports that know they're getting 3 to 6 feet of snow for this game on Sunday that they have or may not move. There's talk of moving it to Detroit.
Well, we already said Bills Mafia is going to come out if there was 12 feet of snow.
Thursday on Thanksgiving in Detroit, so they can't move it to Monday. I don't know. Anyway, I keep texting him for updates. Mm-hmm. Any snow yet? Picture from his office today in downtown Buffalo.
Nothing.
Blue skies, gorgeous, nothing on the ground.
Really?
Poll question for tomorrow. Ready? Poll question. Would you go to a game in 3 to 6 feet of snow in Buffalo on Sunday?
No.
If you had free tickets, would you go?
Susie,
changed everything.
I didn't go to a Rams game at SoFi, which takes me 16 minutes to drive from my house to park.
But you don't like to leave your house.
When it was 88 degrees out. So, no.
We are going to talk about this tomorrow.
Lame?
No. Why would I want to go
tomorrow?
Are you bringing the champagne tomorrow? Are we getting down like that?
I'm back tomorrow.
We getting drunk?
I would do champagne in the morning. Right, donuts and champagne.
Wow. I mean, I love it when you're here.
Is that my fantasy team?
Donuts and champagne.
See you on Friday, people. Thanks for joining us today.